Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you here this morning. Glad that you're here. Boy, I tell you, you see the young people singing and leading in worship. How old one feels. Because I remember when they were just little kids, just tiny kids, and now they're all grown up and leading us. When I was that age, I wasn't doing that. How marvelous it is. So the Lord bless our young people. It's beautiful. And even when they were in the prayer room, they were praying in there like they were singing here. It wasn't just surfacey, it was good. So thank the Lord for you got that caliber of people that we have. Well, I'm driving Cam to the absolute distraction because I've already changed this about three times. We were away part of this week and down in Whidbey, where we like going. And so I said, well, we won't worry about the notes because I'm on holiday. There's a little bit of a holiday, so we'll just forget that and just give it. Anyway, this morning I even changed that. But I think I pared it down. One of the problems is that I changed my mind. I got reading the text that I wanted to read, which I will. That stays the same. And then because I wanted to talk about caregiving and cure giving, and that we're to do the caring and God does the supernatural work of changing situations. And then as more I looked and read and for the text within the context, and then I realized that there should be a bit bigger verse and then a little bit bigger verse. And then I realized that that goes right back to the beginning of the chapter. And so I said to him this morning, I said, I think we better change it and change the title. So I think I can fly with it then. So I think I have. So I want to read this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I may jump around a little bit this, but you'll be good for it, I'm sure. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to verse 9. You see, we want to hear from heaven. I don't want to just give a message. I want to give something that's alive and that would touch your heart and touch mine, really speak to us. And so I want to read, we want to ask the Lord if he would just do that. Would you bow your heart with me? Father, Lord, you said without you we can do nothing, and we believe that. So I just pray, Lord, as I would share from my heart, I pray, God, that you would touch every heart that's here. We thank you for this thy word. And we pray, Lord, that you would be magnified and glorified, that you will be always and forever, Lord, the famous God, the God that we just stand in awe of. So thank you. And Lord, now we just look to the Holy Spirit's ability to make something real. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me go back to verse 3, just so I'm reading it as you know where I didn't just make this up. For you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? Verse 5. And what then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For you are God's fellow workers. You are God's building. You are God's field. You are God's building. Let me pause there. The problem, which I didn't include when I first started the sermon, I started in after that. Maybe some other day I'll share that too. It might have something worthwhile to say to us. But the problem in the church was that there was pride and division. And the interesting thing about that is that it wasn't among the rank and file so much as among, it was regarding the leadership. So I called this, as if there was a title, is Get Your Eyes Off Men. That's what this passage is about. Get your eyes off of men. And so he's addressing, and it goes back quite a ways, actually to chapter 1 of the 1 Corinthians. It goes back quite a ways. That there was a problem, because they were not doing, and I'll touch on this again, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 31, they were not doing this which they should have been doing. He says, so that, as it is written, let one who boasts, boast in the Lord. That's what Paul wanted them to be doing. Boast in the Lord. Don't boast about who's the most anointed. Don't boast about who's the most gifted. Don't boast about who's the most charismatic, who's the most this, who's the most, who's got the great ministry and the great this and the great that. He said, you should be ashamed of yourself about that. If you're going to boast, let it be in the Lord. Wow. And about the Lord. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. What then is Apollos? Well, apparently he was in the human sense, he was a great orator. Amazing man. What is Paul? Then he just blows us away. He says, just adjust your thinking regarding your favorites. Be careful about your favorites. We all have them, but they're usually sinful in nature. They're not measured the right way, the way they should. What is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants. Table waiters. That's what they were. They were merely servants. There was nothing great about them compared to God's greatness and the Holy Spirit's greatness. And so he says, adjust your, think of it differently. They're servants. Through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. Some things belong to humans and some things belong to the Lord. These are the things that belong to the Lord. They belong to him. It stems from him. If they're great, they're great because God made them great. God made them great. But they're only servants. Oh, do you remember that? You say, oh, that ministry really took off. Or that really was amazing. Or this was that many. Or that building seats so many people. And aren't we all guilty of that? And of what is phenomenal worldwide ministry. We say, oh, a worldwide ministry. And we get glassy-eyed and we think about that. And then you realize that some things belong to the Lord. So we must be careful that we never attribute to a human what we need to attribute to God. It's the Lord that needs to be lifted up and exalted. And so he says, Paul and Apollos, in essence, he said, they're not saviors. They're not the Holy Spirit. They're not God. They're servants. Merely table waiters. They've come to serve. These are two men, Paul including himself. He says they don't originate. They merely deliver. They can't originate. There's nothing from them that we would, you know, that we would just be in awe of that person. So impressed. Are we not easily impressed? Am I not easily impressed? I'm easily impressed. Something will kind of dazzle me, and I say, wow, that's really something. And that, of course, in always and forever leads to jealousy and leads to comparison. Then you're off on the side of the road wondering what happened to yourself. And so, they're not saviors, merely table waiters. And I'm kind of encouraged that they don't originate. Nothing is stemming from them. They said, you know, they came with a prophetic word, or they did this, or, you know, they laid hands on that person and that person was healed. Yes, And? Well, we should follow that ministry then. It's really impressive. And so we start to say, you know, that's the one we want to read up on. That's the one we want to hear about. That's the one, get the latest about the ministry and how many this and how many that. And we're all there. I don't think there's a church in the world, or people in the world either for that matter, that we often think that these people originate. No, it flows through because of the Holy Spirit. And if they have gifts, that healing gifts and discernment gifts, we must recognize if it's legitimate, it came from God. They were merely showing up. They're the delivery boys. They're the pizza people. Right? They're just bringing it to the body. They're bringing it to the unsaved, you know, even the gospel. They say, oh, that person, you know, Reinhard Bonnke, who, I, by the way, I have heard. It's amazing. Your hair is straight back. It's just unbelievable. When that guy preaches, he can really preach. And he told about the hundreds and thousands of people in South Africa and other parts of Africa that all got saved and healed and delivered and set free. And we say, wow, yay, Reinhard, yay. And I think the Lord begins to write something on the side of our church that isn't pleasant. You know, the Spirit has departed because our eyes were on men, not on God. It speaks to us. They don't originate, they deliver. That's all they can do, and that's all you can do. No matter how full of the Spirit you will be, you can only be a something that the Spirit can flow through, and for myself as well. So this passage is about the sovereignty of God. Is it not? The sovereignty of God. If they were, and I'll read it, who is Apollos, who is Paul? Servants through whom you believed. In other words, the gospel came through these leaders, and Paul's not changing his mind. He said, no, I know that the gospel came through them as the Lord assigned to each. God gave that faith, and God assigned that response. If those people surrendered to Christ, it's because the Spirit of God opened their heart, as the Bible says Lydia opened her heart to the Lord. These people opened their heart to the Lord, and it had nothing to do with the leaders. They were just the ones for whom the Lord decided to use. Every once in a while, the Lord uses me. Every once in a while, the Lord uses you, and we marvel at it. And you know that phone call was from God. That God originated that. You knew that that moment that you met with that person, and you had the chance to pray with them. And you wish it would happen every time. And somehow, if you have it happen a few times, then you begin to think that you had something to do with that. How many times I've thought, well, the Lord's really using me today, isn't he? And I said, what's that? What is that noise? It's the sound of the Lord leaving the building. No, if you've been used of God, then just begin to praise the Lord and say, thank you, God, that I was used of you. God assigns these people. This is a sovereign thing of the Lord. And that's what Paul wanted them to know, that God gave that faith and God assigned that response. And we had really very little to do with any part of it. So verse 6, I planted. How important. You know, it's a very thrilling thing to know that you were one of the main and maybe the last link before that person opened, you know, that link, this is that visit, that TV program, that, you know, this, and pretty soon two people have witnessed to them. Now this has happened, that's happened. They came to a meeting, they went to a small group, they went to an Alpha. And finally, that maybe that night at Alpha, they prayed to receive the Lord. And we say, wow. Isn't that wonderful that, you know, John led Kathy to the Lord tonight? And we have no idea of how this thing has been coming down, the links, right? Linking up that salvation. And somebody just happened to have you were the one in line, you were beside that, and you said, would you like to receive the Lord? And they said, I'd like to receive the Lord. And you link that together, and somehow you think you did something. When God had been working on that heart and that life, it just so happened that, so Paul says, I planted. All those seeds, he said, I did that. And he did. He did. He planted. Can't take that from him because he did. If they heard the gospel, they heard it because of Paul. He said, I planted. But he said, Apollos watered. Why? Because he was tremendous with the insights from Scripture. He was the one people wanted to hear, so they would gather, and Apollos would speak. I think they called him the silver-tongued one. I think that's what he was called, the silver-tongued one, because when he spoke, I remember Lauren Pritchard talking about Ern Baxter at the Tabernacle days when it was at its height, that Lauren jokingly said, we used to always say as young men, we used to say that Ern Baxter didn't need the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he was such an amazing speaker. My wife, Val, she's heard Ern Baxter speak. Boy, just he was amazing. What a speaker. And so this is what he's saying. Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. God gave the growth. Wow. This is so God-centered, what he's saying. He said he brings it back to the Lord over and over and over again. It's a passion, and this is what we should have too, a passion for the sovereignty of God. Always, there's a mystery to it. We don't fully understand it, but we won't take any credit for it. If young people give their hearts to the Lord of the VBS, which we'll pray and trust and believe that some little hand will go up and say, I'd like to follow Jesus, I'd like Jesus to be in my life. Won't that be wonderful? Won't we say, whoa, way to go, Bible teachers? No, not necessarily. It might be the people that are pouring the Kool-Aid. They're just doing that because they volunteered. But that's what they did. And as a result of that, it was all part of a team. We're not sure who watered and who planted and who stirred and who made the Kool-Aid. We don't know. We don't know what God decided to bless. But whatever he did, it will be a joint effort. It always is a joint effort that a number of people did something, and it's just all kind of mixed up. You can't tell who watered and who built up and who encouraged and who prayed, right? And then again, what about the Sunday school teacher where that little child had been coming here for the last 4 years and just decides to give their heart to the Lord that week? And we marvel and say, and we realized that it was that dear Sunday school teacher maybe had a major part in this. I'm sure they had a major part. It just happened to be harvest time, and they got to tie the last link. But I'll tell you, if you've ever had the joy of, first of all, just planting a seed, and you know that's all it was. You wish you could have stayed and carried on the conversation, but you couldn't carry it on because you weren't able to. But you know, and they knew and you knew there was something that happened there when you had shared the Lord. And we say, wow, that's a great thing. So we see, is watering better than planting, or is planting better than watering, so I can get in on it? No, you have no say over it. You have no control over it. That's the kind of the mysterious thing about it. You have no control over it. You don't know. I know it's a great thrill to plant a seed. And later somebody says, you know, you were really encouragement to me. I never told you what a great encouragement, and that I accepted the Lord because of what you had said one night. And that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? And yet, it's not. The next time is you just get to do some watering, and maybe you're explaining the gospel to somebody else. And so on and so forth, it just goes on. Planting and watering, planting and watering. Don't make one the better thing. They're both crucial, and many other things beyond just watering and planting. So, verse 7. Listen to this. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God. Only God who gives the growth. Wow. He who plants or waters is nothing. Nothing. It's a little nothing. It's nothing. Now, he's not dishonoring him. The nothingness of Paul. That'd be a good title. The nothingness of Paul, or the nothingness of Apollos, does not make them less honorable or esteemed. It's just that they're nothing compared to God. Everything is nothing compared to God. And we're aware of that. We're conscious of that. Verse 8. He who plants and he who waters are one. That's an important verse. And each will receive his wages according to his labor. The work is not identical. We kind of wish it was. That's why you can't compare it. You can't compare those two ministries that we were fond of. They're different. Even when they do the same thing, say, who's the greatest evangelist? Who's the most successful pastor in North America? And who's got the greatest ministry? And on we would platter on. And we realize that their work is not identical. It's different. And therefore, it's craziness, it's silliness to say, who is the superior minister? We want to go hear that one, the one with the greatest ministry. And we need to hang our heads and say, what are we talking about? How crazy is that, that we'd go running after a ministry, chasing a ministry, trying to reproduce it yourself, maybe even. And how silly is it? So their work is not identical, and we can't ask who the superior minister is. But if you drop down to verse 13, it gives us a bit of some insight. Verse 13. Each one's work will become manifest. Let me say, there's a day coming when you'll know what it was all about. I'll know what it's about. You'll know what it's about. Each one's work. Now remember, this is a big word for Paul. The work. God gives you a work to do. God gives a work for me to do. We all have a work that must be done. And so each person's work. Now, this is not working for salvation. Make that real clear in your mind. The issue here is not heaven and hell and salvation versus lostness. The issue here is the work that you do for the Lord or that the Lord does through you. Each one's work will become manifest. It will be revealed. For the day, capital D, for the day will disclose it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. The day is coming. It's the day of the fire test. The fire is going to burn over this place, and we'll know that day what has been done in the flesh, what has been done in the spirit, what has been dependent on the Spirit of God, and what has been done in the energy of good organization. That day is going to happen. And that's what he's speaking about here. It'll be revealed by fire. And the fire will test. You see, you have no idea what God may burn up in my life. You have no idea. You say, well, Brother Owen, he was a fine fellow. Apparently not that fine. It's all just burned off. But he was so impressive. He looked so spiritual. Well, look at all he did for the Lord. You see, it depends. It's never how much you do for the Lord. It's why you did what you did. Is that done in the work of the Lord? Revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each person. Aren't you encouraged by that? I'm encouraged by that. Some strange, weird way. I'm not racing against you. You're not racing against me. Each person will be judged individually for the work that you have done. And we can say, Lord, did you see that cup of water I brought? He says, I saw that. I always remember that. So the smallest thing that you do, a group of young people standing up 7 o'clock in the morning or 7:30 in the morning to practice, second time to practice, that will be judged someday as to why we did what we did and what they did and how wonderful. And somehow we say, it has to be that way. Yes, it has to be that way, and it will be that way. The fire test. So he said, if you're wondering who has the superior ministry, don't worry anymore, because the day will come. It'll be revealed. And so, doesn't it make you want to pray and say, Lord, do something through me that will last and won't be wood, hay? Just look at it. Verse 14. I'm past what I was planning on even going to talk on, but if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he'll receive a reward. Imagine a reward for whatever you did. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. He gets saved. It's not an issue about heaven or hell. It's just a matter of what you've done, why you've done it. If I did it to impress you, if I have done something because I have this ability, I could do it, I have the right kind of grade A flesh. You know, there's grade A flesh and there's loser flesh. There's average flesh. Some of you have grade A flesh, and that's why you'll have to be somewhat worrisome that your flesh didn't do it. If I have any flesh in here that's working in some way, then that will be burned up. There's no doubt about that. He will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved as through fire. Verse 9. We're God's, back to verse 9. We're God's fellow workers. That's a good phrase. God's fellow workers. Verse 8, if you just go back a little bit further, he who plants, he who waters are one. Each one receives his wages according to his labor. For we are God's, here it is again, we are God's fellow workers. We're God's field. He's just trying to say this is God's. That's what he's trying to stress here. It's God's fellow workers. It's God's field. Don't ever forget that. It's God's field, God's workers. We are in God's building. This is not the work of the Lord. This is the work of God. It's not my work. It's the work of the Lord. That's why we have to be careful of how we build and what we do. Why? It says somehow that we build something and we build it to our own glory, to our own prestige, to our own whatever it would be. And so he says, it's God's fellow workers, God's field, and God's building. It's all God's. Every bit of it is God's. So he said, don't look to, how crazy that you would look to Apollos, and you'd look to Paul, and you'd look to Cephas. Why would you do that? See, we don't know. This idea of work, that's the theme. We don't know what Paul's work is really about, other than what he tells us. Much of his work, and he's the first one to recognize it, that much of his work could be burned up. He just says that's the possibility. He said, you are God's fellow workers, you're God's field, God's building, his temple. That's what he's doing. And so you belong to God, not another leader. You belong to God. God's work, God's field. This is God's church, or it should be, if it isn't. And all of a sudden, it gets, at least in my mind, I can see forever when I see what this is about. And it's not discouraging in the slightest to know that there will be an accounting, because it's all God's. and whatever part we made up. How crazy. You know, here we are following leaders. You know, just kind of say, oh, the leaders. Oh, look at there. I'm just get in the limelight of them. I have a picture, one of my favorite people. He's passed on now, but he's a Baptist out of Dallas, Howard Hendricks. And I always liked him, and I always liked him speaking. He could just really speak so well and so interesting. He's an interesting person, interesting speaker. And we have this picture out at Cedar Springs of me and Randy Berg that I asked Dr. Hendricks if I could have a picture taken with, my picture taken with him. And he said, sure, he thought that. The picture is I'm leaning into Howard Hendricks. I've almost got my head on his shoulder just trying to realize that I'm with him. And I'm embarrassed about that photo now. Just want to say, that's me. I'm the guy on the... No, that's Howard Hendricks. This is Owen over here. I'm sure that... What was that? That was just something burning up here. I don't know what that was. But here we are prancing after ministries. Isn't it ridiculous? When you think about it, how absolutely ridiculous it is. He said, you're God's field, you're God's building, you're God's temple. Why in the world would you be trying to find the attention of men and women and, you know, to follow that? Well, my last title, I call this Belonging to God in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 5, no, maybe I won't share that. I'll just cut that out. Chapter 3, verse 21. Verse 20. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise that they are futile. So let, follow carefully. Let no one boast in men. Not any man. And why is that? Why should we not go chasing after our favorite people? Because he tells us why. Because all things are yours. All things are yours. Verse 21, chapter 3. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or Peter, that's Peter, by the way, or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future, all are yours. Everything is yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Therefore, how silly we feel being attracted and attached to some ministry that impressed me. Or some author that I... Is it? No, there may be a place for still reading the book and taking up the seminar. I'm not sure. Just be careful of what it does. That somehow we've been following the wrong thing. We followed people instead of the Lord. So let no one boast in man. However impressive the man or woman might be. And I think that our boasting indicates and shows our neediness of how bad it is. And we rush to the radio. We rush to the meeting. We rush to wherever that speaker might be. And realize that we're chasing ministries. We're chasing people. And oftentimes, it sends you in wrong directions. See, we're acting like paupers. We're acting like we had no wealth, as if we had nothing going for it. He says, you've got everything going for you. You don't need to be like that church or this church. You don't need to have those people or that person. You have it all. He says, you don't act like paupers, like you have to find somebody to follow. You're the Lord's. So because you belong to Jesus, and because you belong to Jesus, he said, that's all you need. So for many, they don't know your heritage. Verse 22. All yours. Everything. And so that brings me right back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I already read it to start off, but what a great verse. Verse 3, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And that is written, let the one who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. Let's show how large our God is. How massive he is, the famous one. It should always exalt the Lord, not the ministry. Isn't that true? Isn't that just absolutely true? Whenever I see something or I get caught up in something where I realize I'm enamored, I'm impressed to the point that it's not healthy, and I want to be healthy. We're going to boast in the Lord. We're going to sing praises to him. See, this is where the sovereignty of God, where you see it's God's sovereign work, God's sovereign buildings, God's sovereign servants. It's all about God. Don't boast in men, boast in him. Lift up his name, magnify his name. So people say, I don't know if that's a great ministry, but they serve a great God. The God they serve is a great one. He's the God I want to hear more about. I don't want to hear about how great they were or he was or she was, but how great God is. And if our church, by the way, and if the ministry of our church and the ministry of our pastoral staff too, all of us included, that if somehow people don't go away saying, the Lord is so good, isn't he? Then we've missed it. Completely and totally missed it. Caught up in something, who knows, the baubles that we're chasing and we're chasing after because something caught our imagination or something we heard on the radio or something we saw on TV, on late night TV, and say, oh, I'll tell you, wish I had a suit like that. Well, that wouldn't be me, but if I, you know what I'm saying? You say, oh, yeah, that's so wonderful. And there's nothing wrong in appreciating a ministry, but you know what I'm saying here today. Let that be that the boast would not be about people of any per kind. And then to say, they're more anointed than that one. My dear brother, oh, let's repent this morning. Let's repent and say, God, to think that I was comparing who the best evangelist was, who was the best Bible teacher, who was the best author, who's got the biggest church, who's got the fastest church. Does it not seem shallow and empty when you realize that we've been, many times we've been caught up in the wrong thing. And people didn't boast in the Lord, they boasted in the ministry, or they boasted in how many souls they had won. I've told this story before, but Val and I know a lady, Sister McCullough. She would witness all the time on the bus. And she was very humble, an old Irish. She called herself God's Irish, God's sheepdog. God's sheepdog. She would hand out, in those days we had a magazine called The End Times Messenger, but it was quite evangelistic. There was places you could receive the Lord. And she'd come in to the morning prayer, because she'd be out on the bus coming to the prayer meeting, and she would get there and she'd lean over just before the prayer meeting, she'd lean over to me or to Brother Pritchard, whoever it was, said, I had an opportunity to share the Lord. And he said, the gentleman was really open. And the pastor said, oh, that's really, well, I said, not a word. I don't want to get all my reward here. Not a word. And she'd shuffle off. She did that pretty well every morning for years and years and years. Get on the bus. And here she would do it. Do you read, sir? Do you read? Well, what am I, illiterate? Why am I going to say I'm illiterate? Do you read? Then you'll want to read this. She said, the Lord bless you. And she come to the prayer meeting. You know, I have a feeling that dear woman on Judgment Day, when the fire comes over, she'll be on the podium and we'll be standing in the back crowd somewhere. Isn't that Sister McCullough? What is she doing? She's receiving her reward, because she always boasted in the Lord and not in people. She got it right. So let's stand together. We're going to ask Marcel to join us in just a second here. Are you up? You're good? Okay. But I want to change it. You've been sitting for 25, 30 minutes. So let's just ask the Lord now, just last few minutes here, just to quicken this to our hearts. Lord, Lord, I pray that wherever we find ourselves loving the praise of men, loving the clamor of men, wanting to see ourselves in bright lights and impressiveness, and then we read your word, and it cuts through us like a knife. Thank you. Thank you. We want to put you first in our hearts. We want to put you first in the church. We want to put you first in everything we do. And somehow, Lord, that we were boasting in you, not in us. And I pray in these few minutes left here, Lord, that you would just drive some of these thoughts home and make it real to us. Enrich us in every way with your word here this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just be seated just for a second. Marcel, come and just come on out here. I want you to start off with what you heard. And then you get ready, because you want to hear what you heard. Not what I said, but what you heard.
What did I hear? I think for me, just as Owen was sharing, and even as I was reading in that chapter of 1 Corinthians 3, was how, just like he was saying, the importance of keeping my eyes on Christ. And as I was thinking, even as I was leaving, that keep our eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of our faith. And that just struck. And as it said in later in that area, we didn't actually read that spot, but that it's wise to keep our eyes on Christ. And human wisdom focuses on the things that we can see. And but godly wisdom keeps our eyes focused on Christ, and wholly on him. Mm. So. Anyway, that's what I saw.
Stay around.
Okay.
Nice to have you back. Missed you.
All right.
All right. Anybody else? Yeah, get off the stage, show the painting. that's good. We'll forget that. Yeah.
Good, thanks.
No, amen. Good. No, good word. Anybody else? Yeah, Rex, please.
An interesting observation, I think, in relation to that passage with the where it talks about
Yeah, no, I hadn't heard that. Wow. Yeah, the ones are on top. They're the hay, the wood. Yeah, yeah, no. I'm sure that wasn't wasted on Paul, this idea of mining that. Good word. Somebody else? Yeah, please. I think that as a recognition of our sin, of our as sinners, we meet at the foot of the cross, equal, totally equal. Somebody else, a couple more. Yeah.
I guess if you watch a lot of, well, I watch a lot of YouTube and I watch a lot of different pastors and that sort of stuff, but I find that like a lot of, if you're not boasting in who you like, you're boasting in who you don't like. Like, it goes like the same, it's the same way, right? It's like we're either, it's all pride in the end, isn't it? Like,
yes.
Because if you're boasting about somebody, you know, I don't like them, they're not teaching it right, they're not doing this right and that, you know. It's all the same thing, we're all God's children.
But isn't it amazing that we all are, none of our ministries are identical. Even if two are evangelists, we'll say, it's a different, comes across different, it transports differently. And it's a wonderful thing that way. That we, there should be no comparison, say, is that like that? Not to compare, just different. Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
It's a joy. It's no pat on the back to you. You just love doing it.
Yeah. There's a strength that comes with that.
A strength that comes with that.
Oh. One more?
The world says follow the money. You should be saying follow the glory.
Yes. I think when we ask a question, is always a good question, is God glorified? Or are men and women glorified? Well, maybe our final word will be get off the stage and bring out the painting. Thank you for being here this morning. Come on, please join us on the patio. Bless you. Thank you.